just for the attention of the body, I see some people all along here. Maybe you don't want to speak to the bill, and that's totally cool. But if you do want to speak to the bill, you got to go to this microphone over here on this side. If not, sit back and enjoy the ride. All right, Ways members. We will reconvene the Ways and Means Committee meeting. As we described previously on our agenda, we'll be taking up House File 2128 first. We will go to the subcommittee of the whole here in just a minute. The two amendments we'll be looking at is amendment in this order, 4446 and then 4416. I will now entertain a motion to convene a subcommittee of the whole on House File 2128. So moved by Senator Goodwin. All those in favor vote aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. We are now in a subcommittee in the whole of House File 2128. I will now recognize Senator Brown as the chair for House File 2128. You are in order for opening comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before us today is the governor's biofuels E15 access legislation. The intent of the legislation is to increase access to E15 across the state and to financially assist retailers with needed upgrades to their infrastructure system. Any new retailers that open after January 1, 2023 will sell E15 from at least 50% of their dispensers. If an existing retailer has compatible equipment, they must offer E15 from a minimum of one dispenser by January 1, 2026. If an existing retailer upgrades underground storage infrastructure, they must offer E15 from at least 50% of dispensers. The legislation contains two main waivers. The Class 1 waiver is based upon underground infrastructure compatibility, and the Class 2 waiver is based upon inspection and cost of upgrades. The Governor and Secretary of Agriculture both have the ability to waive the access standards under certain situations. Under the RFIP process, a retailer can obtain a grant to assist with upgrade costs. The grant is designed to cover 70% of the total dollar amount with a grant cap of $50,000. If the total project costs are more than $71,000, then the retailer can qualify for a Class 2 waiver. Fuel retailers are required to submit the retailer fuel gallons annual report. The legislation also makes changes to fuel retailers' tax credits. It extends the E15 tax credit to December 31st, 2025, extends the E85 tax credit to December 31st, 2027, sunsets the B5, B10 tax credit on December 31st, 2023, extends B11 tax credit to December 31st, 2027, creates B20 tax credit, and that sunsets on December 31st, 2027, and creates a B30 tax credit that will sunset on December 31st, 2027. There's also a proposed amendment. The proposed amendment would create 300,000 gallon exemption based on 3-year average. It amends the RFIP process to create a 90-10 cost share for retailers under 140,000 gallons sold annually, and creates a 75-25 cost share for retailers between 140,000 and 450,000 gallons sold annually. Retailers in both of these two new tiers must also be of 10 or fewer store locations. It limits the time an application can be placed on a wait list, reduces by half the percentage of the program funds to market the program, allows the cost of compatibility inspection to be included in the cost of improvement for determining a Class 2 waiver, and it makes several technical and conforming changes. I would ask if there's any discussion in the subcommittee from members.
This is the time for the public to speak on this bill, which is for a subcommittee of the whole. If you wish to speak, please go to the microphone in the southwest corner of the chamber, identify who you are, who you're with, how you registered on the bill, and any comments. This time, we'll now be taking public comments.
Good afternoon. Not sure if it's on. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Good afternoon. I'm Molly Severn, the governor's legislative liaison. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm pleased to speak today on the governor's biofuel access bill. This bill is the result of significant compromise from everyone along the fuel supply chain, from farmers to fuel retailers. If we're to remain the national leader in agriculture and renewable fuel production, we must send a strong message against the constant uncertainty that we have faced from the federal government and the EPA. This bill helps to reinforce Iowa's economy at a time when we're seeing soaring inflation and energy prices, as well as supply chain and workforce challenges. We're preparing Iowa to meet these headwinds and come out stronger on the other side. As of almost 2 weeks ago, E15 can again be sold this summer without restriction, and Governor Reynolds is actively pursuing a permanent solution to ensure Iowans have access to year-round E15 in perpetuity. Over 55% of the corn grown in Iowa is processed for the first time at an Iowa ethanol plant. If we lose the liquid fuel market, that would devastate the Iowa economy, farmers, and fuel retailers. The governor's biofuel access bill will increase consumer access to E15, B20, and higher blends. It increases the tax credits for fuel retailers, updates the renewable fuel infrastructure program, and ensures E15 at stations that are compatible to offer it, so no fuel retailer would have to break concrete. I know there's a lot of support and interest in this bill, so I'm also joined today by Jake Swanson, the governor's policy advisor on this bill. We're both happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Okay. Do any of the subcommittee or do any of the committee members wish to speak during the subcommittee of the whole?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the Senator Brown yield to a couple of questions?
Yes.
I'm a little bit confused. Are we on the amendment of the bill? There's two amendments.
We are in subcommittee of the whole. I described both the bill and the proposed amendment, so everybody had a background of what that contained as well. There is a secondary amendment, but the secondary amendment is actually language dealing with the Ag Department bill and not applied to this bill.
Okay, so are we running the bill and the amendments in subcommittee?
We're going to run the amendment in actual full committee here. He was just giving background on the amendment here in the sub for the participants here.
Question is, what is the dollar amount that will be pinned toward assisting retailers?
My mic's on now. Okay, so the funding for the bill is not in this bill. However, currently under the RFIP process, there's $5 million in that program. The House has proposed a $9.1 million appropriation this year, and the governor's office has $10 million in her budget. So I would say for this year's appropriation, we're somewhere between $9.1 million and $10 million.
So are we capping it at that level, or will there be a multi-year appropriation pinned to this?
Well, it would be my thought that there would probably be an appropriation made again next year, but to my knowledge, it isn't appropriating out multiple years. We're looking at this first year's appropriation.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
I don't know. I have a question. So this is not my first subcommittee, but this is kind of the first one that I've seen like this, right? Where I know it's a subcommittee of the whole. We still have access to the public to hear. I appreciate hearing from the governor's office. I'd like to hear more from other bills from them. But just maybe, Mr. Chair, a question for you. So this is a subcommittee of the whole. There's two amendments. We can talk about them now or maybe not talk about them twice, but maybe if somebody likes the bill, they want to see these amendments on there. So I'm still kind of confused about our process here.
Just the process, it was subcommittee of the whole. I think the bill manager wanted to talk about the amendment now instead of committee, but we will be bringing the amendments up in full committee and having the vote on them, which will be time for comment as well.
All right, thank you for that.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, if there is no further discussion, I would move the bill with amendment to go to full committee.
Senator Brown moves House File 2128. Short form has been requested. All those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes appear to have it. Ayes do have it. House File 2128 is approved by the committee and will move to the whole committee. I will now entertain a motion to dissolve a subcommittee of the whole. Senator Goodwin moves. All those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes appear to have it. Ayes do have it. We will now reconvene the Senate Ways and Means Committee. Senator Brown, you are in order for House File 2128.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My opening comments that I just stated a few minutes ago during subcommittee of the whole stand as my opening comments for the bill.
There is an amendment to the bill. The first amendment we'll be taking up is Amendment 4446. Senator Brown, you're open for opening comments on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My description of what is in the amendment that I stated during the subcommittee of the whole will stand as my opening comments on the amendment.
Those conclude the opening comments. Any senators wishing to speak to Amendment 4446? Senator Taylor, you're in order. Sorry.
Well, that's okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right. So here we are, and now I have some questions, but I just want some clarification. This is an important amendment to the overall ethanol bill. Maybe Senator Brown, if you would yield.
Senator Brown, would you yield?
Yes.
Just like to cover a couple of high points here. There's a threshold. Tell me about the threshold of who's going to, how big of a retailer is going to be covered by this amendment.
Are you questioning the gallon exemption?
Yeah.
Okay, so the gallon exemption is a 300,000 gallon exemption based on a 3-year average. It would apply to approximately about a third of the retail locations in the state.
Okay, and then any idea how much of those 30%, 33% retailer, how much gas is that we sell or fuel?
Yeah, it's approximately 6% of the total fuel sold.
Okay. And then, so mostly the smaller retailers?
Correct.
Okay. And then, how do we know this? Because they send us reports, right?
Yeah, so that the information that we received came from DOR, and there is a fuel report that in the bill all stations will be required to fill out that fuel report annually. But yeah, that's where those numbers come from, is from the DOR.
Okay, and then we put up some waivers and exemptions for that with that 300,000 gallons, and then it goes into how much money they might get to actually implement the breaking of the concrete or upgrading their equipment, right?
Yeah, so under the RFIP program, we create two new tiers. The first tier is for stores that are under 140,000 gallons with 10 or fewer stations, don't already offer E15. And for that, based on the $71,000 project cost, they would be able to receive a 90-10 split. So that would be $63,900 out of the RFIP process and $7,100 that the retailer would be responsible for. In the tier two process, we look, that tier is for stores that are between 140,000 gallons and 450,000 gallons annually, 10 or fewer locations. They don't already offer E15, still based on the $71,000 project with a 75-25 match. So they would be able to, through the RFIP process, they would be able to be awarded a grant for $53,250, and the retailer share would be $17,750.
Do we have inside of those numbers any kind of an understanding of, like, the cost-benefit analysis or the break-even point or the where that ends up being a good deal?
I haven't seen a cost-benefit, but I can tell you that with the tax credits, the reason we went with 140,000 is because that's the break-even on the tax credits.
Break-even on tax credits, okay.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other senators wishing to speak to the amendment? Seeing as none, Senator Brown, you're in order for closing comments on Amendment 4446.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I simply move the amendment.
Senator Brown moves Amendment 4446. Record short form has been requested. All those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes appear to have it. Ayes do have it. Amendment 4446 has been adopted. We will now be bringing up Amendment 4416. Senator Sweeney, you're in order for opening comments.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment resolves the conflicts between some various bills that impacts the same code section. This allows House File 2581 and the IDOLS bill, which I'm going to bring up next, to go to the governor's office without issue.
Are there any senators wishing to speak to the amendment? Seeing as none, Senator Sweeney, your order for closing comments.
I move the amendment.
Senator Sweeney moves the amendment. Short form is requested. All those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes appear to have it. Ayes do have it. Amendment 4416 has been amended. We are now back on the bill, House File 2128, as amended. Any senators wishing to speak to the bill? Senator Bolcom, you're in order.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I rise with hesitation about House File 2128. And I had a couple questions. First, my concerns are about the mandate, the requirement that state government is going to tell business owners that they have to sell a particular product. And I've been thinking about this, and maybe Senator Brown or others have an answer, but I'm trying to think what other products government mandates here in Iowa that consumers must use and businesses must sell. So if you've got an example, I'd love to hear it. But in terms of the waiver for small gas stations, Senator Brown, would you yield for a question or two?
Senator Brown, would you yield?
Yes.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Senator Brown, I'm glad to see the waivers. I think these smaller businesses that don't maybe have the capacity to make these expensive changes to sell E15. I appreciate the work you've done on that and others to provide those waivers. So if I'm at one of those, I own a couple gas stations and I fall under the waiver and I get the waiver next January 1st, and then I decide on March 1st I want to sell to another small business owner in my community those stations, does the waiver transfer with the station to the new owner, or does that new owner have to start over again?
The gallonage waiver doesn't transfer, but the other two waivers do. The gallonage and the infrastructure are under a terminal event, so there are things that could trigger that not to follow.
So that new owner, what would be the recourse for that new owner 90 days after the original waiver, or 6 months or a year for that new owner? How would they approach this issue if they were of a mind to not invest in a upgrade?
So they would have to reapply through the Department of Agriculture.
And the criteria would be the same as our current.
Correct.
Would be the same. Thank you, Senator Brown. Mr. Chairman, for a long time we've had really important incentives for the ethanol industry in Iowa, and I don't know if we're at post, you know, we're still, I don't know, $20 million or something. Senator Brown might give us a number on that. But we created incentives to get more product out, more retailers, convenience stores selling it, and those incentives are really, really effective. I've been here a while, where we were trying to get to like 60% ethanol sales. There was a time when regular unleaded was cheaper than ethanol. So we had incentives to try and flip that equation, and it worked. And we have, I don't know, 90%, 85% now E10 sales in Iowa. It's been really effective. So we have those incentives, and we still have those incentives. But now we have this mandate that requires people, retailers, to sell the product. And as when they sell the product, that's what consumers are going to buy. So, Senator Brown, I wonder if you'd yield to another question.
Senator Brown, would you yield?
Yes.
Senator Brown, what role do the incentives play now if there's a mandate that requires people to buy the product? You know, I think of the incentives as carrots, and I think of the mandate as a stick. Carrots and sticks, right? And we use carrots to move the market along, putting government's hand into the market, and now we're putting a bigger hand into the market with this mandate. What role do incentives play when retailers have to sell the product anyway, and customers essentially are, that's what's going to be available mostly to consumers?
So the tax credit they do sunset in 2026 once the mandate is in effect.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Mr. Chairman, I'm not a big fan of the mandate. I just have to put it out there. I know there's this bill's taken a while to get here because I don't think I'm the only one that's not a fan of mandates. There's a bit of irony here. We all know that Iowa has huge water quality issues related to production of corn. We have nitrate problems in our rivers. We spend a lot of money on that. And there's no interest really in a mandate to deal with that or a regulation to deal with that. So the irony for me here is the folks that want to see more ethanol use in Iowa, it's a roadblock to talk about things that we could do to improve our environment in Iowa and improve our water quality. The idea that we'd ever regulate or have a mandate for something like a 20-foot buffer strip along a river or a creek, we'll be here 100 years from now without that because of the opposition to mandates. So I find it ironic. I'd support this today if we had something on that side of the ledger. If we had some environmental improvement that improved our water quality, but we don't have that today, and the chances of that are just about zero. So, Mr. Chairman, I think the mandate's the wrong approach. It feels a little bit like socialism to me. The government coming in here and telling businesses what they have to sell, and so I'm going to have a hard time getting comfortable with this approach. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yocum, you're in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, would Senator Brown yield, please?
Would Senator Brown yield?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator. So I'm just going to walk through some numbers. I just want you to tell me if they're right or wrong, and then I'll have some additional questions. Iowa currently has about 1,791 retail fuel stations in Iowa. Of those 1,791, 871 are independently owned. 920 sites are corporate owned. 383 sites would need tanks replaced. 354 sites would need lines replaced to satisfy this legislation. However, there are waivers now. So I'm wondering, of all these 1,791 retail fuel stations and 871 sites are independently owned, how many will actually qualify for a waiver, so that they will not have to sell E15?
So the ones that would qualify for the gallonage waiver, we can drill that one down pretty well, which is about a third of the stations would qualify for the gallonage. When you start asking about what the other ones, which how many of the other stations would qualify, we probably really don't have a true accurate number on that until we see them go through the application process for the waivers.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. So, E15. President Biden has been to Iowa a week or two ago, and he certainly told Iowa that they would waive E15 for the summer months in Iowa for this coming summer. But it's temporary, and we don't know what the future holds on that. Because as it stands right now, we cannot sell E15 from May through September. And the reason for that is because of the RVP, the reed vapor pressure, I think is what it refers to, which is an evaporative emissions that contribute to the formation of ground level ozone and smog. So actually, Senator Brown, would you yield again?
Senator Brown, would you yield?
Yes.
Thank you, Senator. So, Senator Brown, have you been able to talk with anyone else about whether or not Iowa is going to be able to get a waiver in any future years in order to continue selling E15? Because I have taught others, and I'm sure you've been approached to, some of the larger corporate-owned stations have said, we don't get a waiver to sell E15 in the summer. We're not going to sell it. We are not going to violate federal law and be subject to any kind of penalties or fines for doing that. So I'm just wondering if you've had any conversations on what, not this summer, but the following summers may look like. Is Department of Ag or anybody talking with EPA on what we're going to do to get those waivers or to see if there's going to be a change so that E15 can actually be sold year-round?
I know that I have had conversations with the governor's office, and I know she is working and is in ongoing conversations with the EPA on trying to get the year-round. And I will also like to comment that the governor does have the ability to waive the standard if we are not able to sell E15 during the summer months.
And that would be without any violation of federal EPA laws, air quality laws.
If we aren't able to sell E15 because of EPA not granting us waivers, then the governor has the ability to waive the standard in Iowa so that it wouldn't have to be sold.
That's interesting. Thank you, Senator. Okay, well, we're going to be dealing with another bill next, and that actually includes a section of that bill that no longer mandates that we label the dispensers, which I find very anti-consumer. So that I find very problematic. And I will just close by saying that I still believe that it is the price at the pump that dictates what consumers will purchase. And I will hold my nose and vote for this today, very reluctantly, very reluctantly. And primarily because I have in my community a biodiesel plant. But I'll be darned if I can figure out why we think mandating this is a good idea on E15. From all that I have heard from so many people in this room, that kind of a mandate actually violates some free market principles. So I appreciate the work that went into this. I appreciate this amendment because it makes the bill a little more acceptable. But nonetheless, I still have some sincere reservations about what we are doing here today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are any other senators wishing to speak to the bill? Seeing as none, Senator Brown, your order for closing comments on House File 2128 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I simply move the bill.
Senator Brown moves House File 2128 as amended. Short forms requested. All those in favor, vote aye. All opposed. You wish to be recorded? Okay. Senator Volcom. House File 2128 has been adopted as amended, moves to the calendar. Ready? Okay. We will now be taking up House File 2581. Senator Sweeney, do you have a subcommittee report?
Yes, I do, and everyone signed. I've already given it to your clerk.
You are in order for opening comments.
Thank you very much, Senator Dawson. This bill, what we have passed for the Iowa Dolls Department bill, we go over the Choose Iowa Promotion Program, which I'm very excited about that, and that also ties into the Local Foods Council. We had an interim study committee this year, and it's amazing how many people that we have that are involved in local foods. So that shows that we've got our smaller communities and some economies really getting jump-started with this particular program. Pesticide regulations, this is too for the annual registration fee, and it cleans up language from last year's pesticide bill. The motor fuel regulations, and we've also talked about with that with the amendment that we just passed on the biofuels. Sheep and wool, which is just an at-large, we have fewer sheep producers here in the state. And let's see, also for this then that we had with the processing and distributing marketing local foods, so I end my opening comments. Thank you.
Are there any senators wishing to speak to the bill? Senator Taylor, you're in order.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. As Senator Sweeney said, I did sign on to the subcommittee. I do have a couple questions. I'd like to ask Senator Sweeney to yield on that.
Senator Sweeney, would you yield?
I will. Yes, I will.
Thank you, Senator. Also, particularly on Division 3, which is kind of related to the bill we just did, the motor vehicle regulation section. I have some bullet points on here, but one question for you is, so what we're doing is removing the requirement that the state and the EPA mandate ethanol labels, except for when a dispenser of ethanol is of a certain level of ethanol. What's the deal behind removing the mandate for labeling the pumps?
Well, I think that the consumers just need to know the what they're getting for the octane levels, and especially when we switched from leaded to unleaded gasoline, and that was all labeled until the consumers figured out that it was a good thing that we went to unleaded fuels with the octane rating. And so at our fuels right now, even in fact this morning when I filled up, they had the different octane levels. So I think that is good for our consumers.
So, but we're not requiring the retailers to label it, so that's my only question on the consumer part.
Correct. You are correct.
But you're saying, are you implying maybe that the retailers won't be required to, but they'll do it anyway?
Oh, they're not required to do that. And I just, with that ethanol sticker on there, you know, that we see at the pumps, I always just look at the octane level. So when we have that octane level, we are taking away that requirement for the ethanol sticker.
Okay, I follow. So the octane will still be there,
yes.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you.
Seeing no other senators wishing to speak to the bill, Senator Sweeney, you're in order for closing comments.
I move the bill, move forward.
Senator Sweeney moves House File 2581, short forms requested. All those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
All opposed, ayes appear to have it, ayes do have it. House File 2581 moves the regular calendar. Being no other further business before the committee, Senator Goodwin moves that we adjourn.